So they're walking along a beach, and during their walk, they had an argument, and one friend turns and just slaps the other right in the face. How would you react to that? Without saying anything, one friend bends down, and they write in the sand. And in the sand, they write, "Today, my best friend slapped me in the face." They continue their walk. And there's, of course, a silent walk now as they continue, and they come to this little inlet, this little waterway here, and the one who had been slapped, he gets caught up in the current and starts to panic, and the friend, the other friend, saves him. And so after he's kind of recovered from his near drowning, he carves in a stone these words, "Today, my best friend saved my life." The friend who had been slapped and saved her best friend asked him, "You know, after I hurt you and you wrote in the sand and now you're carving and you're writing in a stone, why are you doing this?" And the other friend replies and says, When someone hurts us, we should write it down in the sand where the waves of forgiveness can wash it away. You see, but when someone does something that's good for us, we should carve it in stone where it can never be forgotten. We as Christians, we need to learn to write our curses in the sand and our blessings in the stone and our blessings in stone. Why is it sometimes that we magnify the faults of others instead of edifying their strengths? Talking about the good things that we are doing, and so often we're focused on what we're doing wrong. What is our focus? The wrong act that someone did? Are we focused on what that person has, on the person who they've wronged? Is our focus on, "I'm going to get revenge for what you've done"? How can I make them pay? Or is our focus on our own heart? Guarding our own heart. When something happens to us, are we gonna be able to let it go? Are we gonna be able to forgive? Or are we gonna hold a grudge and let that grudge just take over our life? What's God's focus? God's focus is on our hearts. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, here we have the Lord telling Samuel, as Samuel's looking, and he's looking at all these brothers of the sons of Jesse, trying to decide which one of those is going to be king. And he's looking on the outward appearance. But look what God says. He says, "Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but what does the Lord do? The Lord looks on the heart." David, as he's talking to Solomon in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, he says, "Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and you serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts, understands all imaginations of the thoughts." He says, if you seek him, he will be found of thee. But if you forsake him, he's going to cast you off forever. As we continue there and thinking about what Jeremiah, as Jeremiah is and before the Lord there and this conversation that they're having, he says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he should be planted as a tree that's been planted by the waters, that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit." But look what it says, the heart, sometimes though, all the things that we have there. But the heart sometimes can be deceitful above all things. The heart can be desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know our heart? "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doings." Who searches our heart? Who looks at our heart? It's our Father. He is looking at our heart. He's searching our heart. When we look at some of the Bible characters, we look at David. Look at David, king of Israel. Look at David. He slew the giant. Look at David, who killed his tens of thousands. But look at David. He committed adultery. He had Bathsheba's husband killed. When we look at David and we look at his heart is flawed. When we look at Elijah, a prophet of God, someone who has denounced King Ahab and his queen Jezebel, who has slew 450 false prophets. But look what happens. He becomes discouraged. He's just ready to give up and die. Sometimes even the heart of the good can become flawed at some times. Moses, someone who is a prophet, someone who is a deliverer of the people of God, he wouldn't forsake his people. He forsook the treasures of Pharaoh. He could have been the next in command. He led and delivered God's people out of the Egyptian bondage. But look what happened. He wasn't allowed to enter into the promised land. There's something about Moses that was flawed. Peter, an apostle, someone that was chosen by God, chosen by Jesus, someone who walked with Jesus, someone who was a witness to his deity. Someone who denied the Lord three times when Christ needed him the most. Peter, a man who had flaws. What about you and me? Those of us who are Christians, those of us who have been saved. But what happens to us sometimes? We sin, we fall short of His glory, we have a wrong attitude at times. Sometimes as young people, we're disobedient to our parents. Sometimes as older people and as young people, we can't control this tongue. Sometimes all of us, we omit those things that we know that we need to be doing. We omit those things that we know that we should be doing. We too are flawed. Sometimes our heart gets flawed. What do all these people have in common? What do all of us have in common? We're flawed. We're sinners. Our heart sometimes is not what it needs to be. Sometimes we don't extend that heart of forgiveness to others. What else do we all have in common? You see, sometimes God sees in us more than sometimes we see in ourselves. See, because what He gives us is forgiveness. David, talk about what David did. Talk about the mistakes that he had. But David was a man after God's own heart in Acts 13:22. David was forgiven. We talk about Elijah. We talk about him. He was ready to die. But Elijah, he was someone who didn't taste death. He was someone that God took in a chariot of fire, took him on to heaven in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. Elijah, someone who was forgiven. Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land, but God allowed him to see the promised land. Moses, someone who was forgiven by God. Peter denied Christ three times, wept bitterly. But Peter was the one who preached that first gospel sermon. He converted many to the gospel in Acts chapter 2. Peter, someone who was forgiven. What about you and me? Someone who falls short of God's glory. Someone who does not do what we need to do sometimes. We make those mistakes. Well, what did he say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You and me, a heart that's flawed, but a heart that can be forgiven. What do we all have in common? We all have Jesus as our Savior in common. Jesus, the one that went to the cross for us, the one that bore our sins. You see, as disciples in Christ, we've received the greatest forgiveness that could possibly happen. We have received forgiveness of sins. Our sins have been washed away. When we look in Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." We're baptized. We receive forgiveness, a remission of sins. It's all washed away. How beautiful that is. In Acts 22, verse 16, all the things that Saul had done, all the things that he had persecuted the church, he had done those, he had drugged people out, he had put them in prison, he had voted and cast vote lots about having people killed, having people murdered. And he said, "Now why tarriest thou? You arise, Saul. You be baptized and you do what? You wash away your sins. See, he was given forgiveness for all those things that he had done, calling on the name of the Lord. You see, since we've received forgiveness as disciples of Christ, we've been given the responsibility to forgive others who have harmed us. Forgive others who have hurt us in our life. Who is that person? Who's that person for you? Think about that person. Think about that person that has wronged you. When that person comes to mind, do you just cringe? When that name is brought up in conversation, do you get this sour feeling in your stomach about this person? Are you the friend that has written in the sand? Or are you the friend that's carved in the stone? Think about that person. Think about, and hopefully we don't have any of those people, but we probably might have someone in our minds that has harmed us, or they've really broken our hearts. Are we willing to forgive that person? See, when we look at our conditions of forgiveness, when we look at conditions of forgiveness, and we look at, you know, and our forgiveness itself, it comes from, our forgiveness from Christ is directly related to our forgiveness as we give to others. When we look there at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, specifically at verses 14 and 15, what does Jesus say in that prayer? He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father is also going to forgive you. If I forgive the person that has done me wrong, then I'm going to be forgiven when I ask it." But look at the flip side of that. If we don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will our Father forgive us of our trespasses. See, there's a condition there. If you want to be forgiven, you must forgive. If I want to be forgiven, I must forgive. You know, when it comes to forgiveness, I can't help but to think of the perfect example of forgiveness. How we can learn from our Savior. How we can learn from Jesus Christ. The perfect example of forgiveness. Betrayed by the one that He had chosen. Rejected by His own people. Treated as a criminal. Deserted by His closest companions. Stripped of His clothes. Scourged. Mocked by putting the robe on Him. The crown of thorns that was placed upon His head. Spit upon. Those crown of thorns on His head, and they take a reed and they hit that crown, and those thorns go into his skull. Had to carry the weight of the cross. And while hanging there in pain and in agony, the greatest example of love, the greatest example of forgiveness, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do we have that kind of heart of forgiveness? Do I have that kind of heart of forgiveness? When I think about being a disciple of Christ, He expects us, He demands of us that we in our lives, we are forgiving others. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man has a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. If someone has a quarrel with you, forgive them because you've been forgiven. People should know that in our lives it's all about forgiveness. People should know that we're not a group of people who holds grudges. People should know that we as Christians, we're not ones to hold bitterness and hold that resentment in our heart. See, when we talk about forgiveness and forgiveness in our lives, we talk about Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and we know when we're praying. When you stand praying, you forgive. If you have aught against you, that your Father also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. When we're praying, we need to make sure that we forgive others so He can forgive us. What does He say here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24? Therefore, if you bring a gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, what did he say? You leave that gift before the altar. You go your way. You first be reconciled to your brother. Go to them. Be reconciled to them. Then you come and you offer that gift. You have that heart of forgiveness where you forgive, others. You really mean that I have to forgive people that have done so many things to me? God, that's what you expect of me? That's what you demand of me? You expect me to forgive someone who I might consider my enemy? He tells us to love our enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. If he smites you on one cheek, give him the other. Him that take away your cloak, forbid him not to take your coat also. We're to love our enemies. Forgive them. Matthew chapter 18, well, how many times do I got to do this? How many times as a Christian do I need to forgive others? Surely there's a limit. Somebody's done this to me 20 times. Somebody's done this to me 30 times. Surely there's a limit that's put on this thing. What does he say? Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22, Peter said to them, Lord, how often my brother sinned against me and I forgive him? Seven times. There's your magic number. Seven times we'll do it. No, what did Jesus say? Not seven times. 70 times 7. Does that mean 409 times? And on number 491, we can't forgive them? What is he saying? You forgive others just as Christ is going to forgive us when we ask. How many times have you asked in your life, Jesus, forgive me for what I've done? I bet if you kept a record, it would be more than 490 times. I bet it would be more than 490 times. When we think about our heart, and when I think about my heart, I have to ask myself, do I have a heart of forgiveness? Do I have a heart that's going to forgive others? Do I have a heart that wants to be forgiven? You know, when I think about the prodigal son, when I think about the prodigal son and the difference in the hearts that are shown there, do you have the heart of the father in the prodigal son story? Or do you have the heart of the brother? Which heart do you have? Which heart do I have? When we look in chapter 15, verse 20, listen to what the father did. He arose, he came, and this, he arose, the prodigal son, he arose, he goes to his father, but when his father, he was a great way off, his father did what? His father sees him, he has compassion on him, he runs to him, he falls on his neck, he kisses him, he prepares a big feast for him. Did he forgive him? Sure sounds like it. What about the heart of the brother? The brother, he's been out. The brother comes in, and one of the servants there is telling him what's going on. And he says, your brother has come, and your father, he's killed this fatted calf because he's received him safe and sound. The brother who was lost, the brother who had left him to take care of his, to be with his father, to help his father take care of all these things. He's angry. He is angry. And he would not go in. He's angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and his father gets him to come in, and then they go through that story talking about he was lost, but he's found. Which heart do I have? Which heart do you have? It's been said that the first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. But the first to forget is the happiest. When you have a heart of forgiveness, you're going to work on that. You're going to be the one that you want to go and apologize. You're going to go in, you're going to forgive that person, but you're also not going to bring it up. You see, because when you don't forgive, when you hold on to that, when you hold on to what they've done, it ruins your life. It's like a cancer of the soul when you hold a grudge. When you forget it and you move on because you know the things that you've done that the Father's forgotten and He's moved on, how happy you can live your life. When do we forgive? Right now. Now is the time to forgive. Forgiveness is not an option. As a Christian, if we don't get to say, well, let me think. Yeah, You've hurt me too badly. I don't know if I'm going to forgive you or not. I'll get over it. Give me some time and I'll get over it. I can't forget you. I can't forgive you because I really hadn't forgot it just yet. Well, if I forgive him, they're just going to do it over to me again. When we ask Jesus to forgive us, when does he forgive us? They're just going to do it to me again, God. I don't want to forgive them. No, that's not what he does. When we ask, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do I know when I've forgiven somebody? I'm no longer controlled by the emotions. I'm no longer, I make an effort of myself to restore that relationship. I can open up my heart to this person. But more importantly, I'm going to display the perfect example. I'm going to display in my life Jesus Christ. What are we told? You let all bitterness, you let all wrath, you let all anger and clamor and slander, you let those things be put away from you, along with all malice. But you be kind one to another. You be tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's what we want in a heart of forgiveness. We want a heart that forgives. Are you forgiven? Are you a child of God? Become one right now tonight. Become one tonight and enjoy the gift of forgiveness. Let your best friend, Jesus Christ, wash away those sins. Do you have sin in your life? There may be sin that's in your life. Do you need to be forgiven? Come and confess your sins, and He will let those waves of forgiveness wipe your slate clean. Won't you come do that tonight as we stand and as we sing this invitation song?